Second Samuel. I'm still high on the Caribbean sun. Thank you.
Lovely. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and that all his belongings to him and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that the presence of God would be known here in our sanctuary, from our pulpit, through the preaching of thy inspired word, and also, Lord, from the presence of your Holy Spirit himself. Holy Spirit of God, pour out afresh upon your people that we may know the presence of the Lord is in this place. For we ask it through your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we've shared a lot with you about the incredible Saint Lucia, the amazing time we had of sharing God's word with God's people and the blessing that came with that. There was one night during the campaign, and we were every night we had a special meeting, and we had an amazing opportunity to share the precious message of Christ, the gospel of our Lord, and the word of God with the people there. It was absolutely amazing. But there was one night that something happened that I have never really experienced before, ever, in my years of sharing and preaching. And that was on the Tuesday night. We came and every day was amazing. Every day was precious. Every day you got the sense that the Lord turned up. You sense that. But on the Tuesday, we had a men's evening. And the church was well attended. Men came from different churches. Men came from the community. And we had a great attendance for a men's evening on a Tuesday. And shared a normal message. In fact, on the evening of the Tuesday, I didn't kind of try and fire it up a little bit like you do as an evangelist when you're doing evangelism. You kind of try and bring in a bit of oomph and a bit of fire, and you try and give some momentum to the message to try and lift the church and lift the people, but to bring home the message of Christ and the gospel. But that night was just a night where I just preach straight. I didn't even walk around. I just preached from the pulpit, the message, the word of God. But as I was preaching, I was aware that there was a response. I could see it in the faces of the men that were there. And then as we did, after the message was finished, the pastor came up and he said, if anyone wants to respond to this message, if anybody wants to respond before the Lord to what we've heard, I'm inviting you to come. We'll pray for you. If some of you want to respond and receive Christ, we're inviting you to come. If some of you want to come and you want to just rededicate your lives, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. And people started responding. Almost everybody stood up, and a lot, if not most of the men that were there, came down to the front. And I remember standing behind the pulpit on the one side, and the pastor said to me, Pastor Emmanuel Joseph, he's a precious man. He said, Pastor, will you pray for these men? And I was touched that the men had come forward. I was touched that that the men were responding in this way. And I could see on some of them there were tears. And it wasn't even that kind of message where it wasn't an emotional message. Some of the men had tears in their eyes. And I began to pray. And just as he gave me the microphone, there was a cloud in the front. I can't describe it anyway. A light cloud, almost like a mist. And I know it was really hot and the fans were turning, but I was looking at the expression and it was like I was looking through a mist, and I thought, this must be what it's like for men who preach, who are evangelists, who travel the world and people respond. This must be what it's like when they talk about the presence of the Lord is here. The Shekinah glory. Have you heard that word before? The Shekinah glory. I never really fully had seen it or experienced that, but it was as if there was a presence there that you could almost see. In fact, there was a definite cloud. And as I prayed, men began to kneel. Some knelt down, some wept, some just responded. And you just knew that the Lord was there. You knew. The Lord is there when we gather. The Lord inhabits his people. We invite Jesus into our heart. We become the temples of the living God. We become his people. And when we gather together, the Lord is there with his people. The Lord is there in the church. That's why the church is so important. That's why gathering, that's why the apostle says, do not forsake the gathering of yourself together with God's people. Because when God's people are together, the fire is together and the fire burns. But there's also a time When even when we know God is there and we are blessed because we're together, there's a time when the Lord turns up. Tonight we've got a meeting at Brixton, and Pastor Ann Luther talks about that. She says, the Lord turned up at our church last week. And it's kind of like another level of God's blessing that comes. And as I was walking on the beautiful coast and on this beautiful Caribbean beach the next morning by myself in the water, Judy was swimming and I was walking along the coast. And I was praying and I said, Lord, what happened last night? What was that? I'd never known that before. And I began to pray and I said, Lord, that's what we need in our church. And I began to pray for East Hill in London. I said, Lord, may we not just be a sanctuary that is a beautiful sanctuary with bricks and windows and situated where it is. That's precious, and thank you for that. We saw from Sudan how blessed and privileged we are to have this freedom and this sanctuary. But may we not just be a sanctuary, but Lord, let your presence be felt. Let the Shekinah glory of God fall upon us. That we are not just a sanctuary, but that we are, in a sense, the ark of God, where God meets with his people. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, we want to be that kind of sanctuary. We want to be that kind of church. It was amazing. And then I prayed, and I said, Lord, and as I was praying, I was thinking of, there were some Canadian tourists that had Canada on their shirts, and it probably got me thinking, I don't know, about how the rivers in Canada, when they cut the timber, put the wood, the big trees that they've cut on the rivers, and the rivers take them down, and they go down into the sawmill from up where they're cutting the trees. And I believe it is well managed. Canada manages their tree industry really well. As they cut down their plants, so it's balanced. But as they cut down these huge trees, sometimes what happens is a block occurs. And it probably begins with just one log getting stuck on some rock or getting caught up in some shallow area. And another log comes up and it blocks against it, and another log. And I began to think about that, and I said, Lord, is that what sometimes happens to us? That sometimes we desperately need, we cry, we call out for, we crave for your presence. We crave for that Shekinah glory, if you will, of knowing we have met with you. Does it sometimes happen in our lives that we get blocked up with something? And it starts small, but then we can't, and it blocks up, and it blocks up, and we can't get past that. Or in the church, that sometimes something starts and something happens, and it's a small thing, but it blocks up, and it blocks up. And then the river can't flow anymore because there's blockages there. Is that what happens? And then sometimes the need to bring in dynamite and blow the blockage so the flow can come. And I think of that precious word of the dynamos of God's word, the dynamos of God's power. And I said, Lord, let us be a church that is not blocked. Let us be a church where the river of God can flow. Let us be a people where the river of God can flow. Wash away those things that get in the way, that we might see Christ lifted up and the glory of God shine in our church again, as it has and as it will by God's grace. But let it shine now in our time, in our generation. And then we come to this passage today. And as I was walking, as I was praying, I thought of that beautiful hymn that starts, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day The day I'll never forget when I met Jesus, my Lord. And he took my darkness and he turned it into day, into glory. And Jesus came into my heart. And then you get that amazing chorus that goes like this. It says, heaven came down and glory shone around. You know that one? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away. My heart was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And I said, Lord, let that be our church. Let that be us. Let that be our family. Let that be our marriage. Let that be our children. Let heaven come down and glory shine around and fill our souls with newness and with vision and with joy and break those blocks that are in the way that we might flow with the glory of God and shine for Jesus. Lord, we need that cloud. Lord, we need that cloud of glory to come upon us. Lord, we need that cloud to turn our rocky hearts into the soil of the living God, where the soil will receive the word of God and the flowers, as it were, of God's kingdom will flourish in us, and people will see in us a heart that is filled with joy and blessing. Lord, we need that cloud to come down. We need, Lord, in repentance, to turn back to you. Forgive us, Lord, for those blocks, for those things that we know are ridiculous and silly. Lord, wash them away in the power of your Spirit. And we need a new glory to fall upon us and upon our church. Come on, Lord, we need that. Lord, turn my fear into joy. Turn my heartache into glory. And Lord, we can't do it, but you can do it. In Jesus' name, we need that cloud to fall upon us. You know, David felt like that. David felt like that. David was aware that something was missing when he went into the temple. The temple worship had become, I think more than anything, the temple worship had become religious. It was wooden. There was something missing. People were coming to church, but they were going away and their heart was still untouched, unmoved. People were coming to church, but it was religion. It wasn't faith. People were coming to church and they were looking, but they weren't seeing. People were coming to church and they were hearing the word of God, but it was only here and it wasn't allowed to touch their hearts and come deep into their soul. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but you can listen, but you have to go beyond. You have to have faith. You've got to believe the word of God. You've got to allow the word of God to transform your heart and my heart. We've got to take that word of God and let it renew us in a new way. But it wasn't happening in the temple for David. And he was missing. Something was missing. The temple was windows and doors, but there was no glory. The temple was, the worship was religious and wooden and faithful, but there was no glory. Oh, my Lord, give us the glory. Give us the glory. And so he said, what can I do? And he remembered 80 years before the ark of God. He remembered about the ark and how the Lord said in Exodus, he said, when you bring the ark of God, when you bring it into the sanctuary, I will meet with you above the cherubim that are on the ark. I will meet with you. My presence will be there with the ark itself. Bring the ark into the sanctuary. And David said, that's what I need. Where's the ark? Oh, we left it at Abinadab's house. Where's Abinadab's house? It's up there near the border with Philistines. They sent it back on a cart after they had captured it, and it just ended up in his house. It's been there for nearly 80 years. Let's go and get it. Let's bring it. We need the presence of the Lord back in the sanctuary. Where is Abinadab's house? Let's go, let's get it. And he bought 30,000. We read in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. It begins with the word again. Again, David collected 30,000 of Israel's special men. 30,000 of Israel's SAS, if you will. The men had gathered before in chapter 5 for a coronation. They had confirmed David as their king. And the Philistines didn't like that, and they came to attack. So he called up the men again, and they defeated the Philistines and pushed them back. Now David calls them up again, almost one after the other, and he has a military parade of glory. And he says, we are going to bring God's ark back into the temple. And he gets all the men, the choice men, the dedicated men. In today's terminology, it would be the faithful men and women of God. Because in Christ, all are equal. There is no male or female, the book of Galatians tells us, in the kingdom of God. We are all God's children. But he gets the faithful and he brings them in. He brings them in. And they come and they worship, and then the people come and gather, and they get the worship team, and the worship team starts singing, and they bring out the ark. But something is wrong, even in verse 1 and 2. The first thing is wrong is you get a sense that the people of the house of Abinadab have been careless with God. They've been careless. They've treated him with contempt. They've been contemptuous. They've been careless. But most importantly, they've been corrupt. They've corrupted the word of God around the presence of God. And that is a dangerous combination. And you don't have to go very far into the great massive churches of the city to see the word of God corrupted around the presence of God. And that is a dangerous combination. And how do you say, Pastor, that they corrupt the word of God in this case? Well, the first thing you see is they put the ark on a new cart. Where did that come from? Well, they remembered when the ark came back from the Philistines. The Philistines, they didn't know any better. They just wanted this ark away. It was causing them too much of a problem. They put the ark with some gold offerings and some cattle, and they sent it off, and the ark ended up, and then they ended up putting it at Abinadab's house. But you see something about that. That putting the ark on that new cart, on the cart that the Philistines did, that way of traveling with the ark was non-legal by God's word. It was contradicting God's law, contradicting what God had said about the ark. There were reasons God said put poles through the ark, to honor the ark, to respect the ark. You can't just be complacent with the presence of God. You can't just think that Jesus is some pal, friend, that you can stand and put your arm around and say, hey, mate, how are you? He is our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. But he is a friend that we revere, that we respect, that we honor, and we treat with great respect. And they had somehow lost that. They'd lost that at the house of Abinadab. They had lost that respect. And then, to add to it, they took the Philistines' theology, if you will, and they put the ark on a cart. David should have known better. The people of Israel should have known better. But they took the law and they changed it around. They confused the word of God. They confused it. Oh, come on. We cannot play with God's word anymore. We cannot play games with the word of God. There is so much going on in this world today where churches are trying to fit in with this age. So much going on where people are taking sentences out of context. There is so much going on where people are trying to be Bible light. But I pray that we in this church will never accept the principle of being Bible light, but that the Word of God will be the cornerstone, the preaching of God's Word faithfully will be the cornerstone of this ministry in this church, in this pulpit, which began with Spurgeon and will last by God's grace until He comes again. Preaching faithfully the Word of God. Oh, but they took the Word and the law and they twisted it around and they put it on a cart. They brought in the world's theology into their life to make their life easier. You cannot do that and expect to walk free. You cannot be contemptuous of God's Word. You cannot be careless with God. Because when you're contemptuous and you're careless, and when you treat God in that way, it always ends in death. You show me a church that has died and has been sold for a supermarket, I'll show you a church that walked away from the preaching of God's Word faithfully and truthfully. I believe you'll see at some point they lost the sight, the vision, and respect of God's Word. I believe that will be part of it. God's Word is powerful. It is a sword. But if you blunt the sword, with what do you fight your battles with? So, they put it on a cart, and off they go. And Uzziah, the sons, they should have known better. But you get a sense that there's been neglect, that they're not taking God seriously. It's more a religious thing with them to have the ark than the faith and the heart of God. So what do? They bring the ark down, and then along the way, it hits the threshing floor. It hits the threshing floor. We're going down now to about verse 9 and 10. And as they're bringing the ark down, and they're singing, and they worship, and the worship is going, and they've got the ark in the middle of all this, they've got this wrong theology leading them, and they're dancing around it. They should have known better. The cart hits the threshing floor. And Uzziah puts out his hand, and he's gone. You cannot be careless with God. You cannot break God's law and not expect death and judgment to come. God is faithful, but He is just. And you cannot be careless with God. We cannot be careless with God. God, give us a new vision. Give us a new heart. But Father, forgive us when we are careless with You. Cleanse us, Lord, from unforgiveness, from hardness of heart, from those things that are blocking Your love flowing in our lives. We dare not be careless with You. And Lord, help us be faithful to Your Word. Uphold the living Word of God faithfully and truthfully all the days of our lives. And let us walk straight. David reacted. You know, there will be threshing floor moments in our lives when we don't expect it. There will be times in your life when something happens that you will be out. The number of folk that I meet sometimes out there or that I talk to, and they would sometimes get angry with God. God, why did You allow this to happen? Why did You allow me to lose my mother right at this point? Why did You allow this situation to develop? And they're not only hurting, but in their hurt and in their grief, they react, and there's an anger that comes. Sometimes churches go through threshing floor moments. Unexpectedly, something happens, and there's a division, or there's an argument or something, and everybody hits a threshing floor moment, and there's a lot of anger and stuff, and the ark gets shaken around a little bit. But when that happens, I want us to remember in your life, and it's almost definitely going to happen at some point, that you will hit a threshing floor, or the church will hit a threshing floor, or something will hit the threshing floor. When that happens, remember this: don't try and help God sort it out. Let God be God in that situation. Let God fight the battle for you in that situation. Let God be your shepherd in that situation. Step back and let God deal with it. Uzziah wanted to fix it himself. That was the wrong thing. Step back, pray, and let God deal with the threshing floor situation. David was angry. He was hurt. He was upset. Suddenly, Uzziah's gone. David is confused, and he says, I'm not bringing this ark into the sanctuary. How can I do it? It's too dangerous. And he was also angry with the Lord that this had happened. He saw it as unjust. He didn't understand the implications. He hadn't gone back and understood what was going on. And then he said, look, there's a house over there. Obed-Edom, will you let us put the house, the ark in your house? We need a place. Obed-Edom has a different approach. Obed-Edom knows the law. Obed-Edom sees the threshing floor moment not as something that is disruptive or broken. Yes, it is. But he sees it as an opportunity to bring the presence of God into his home. It's happened right outside. And that's what we need to learn from Obed-Edom today. We need to learn that when situations occur that are hurtful and broken and difficult, that is an opportunity to open the door of our heart and let's bring in the Lord, bring in the ark of the Lord into our home, into our lives, into our situations. Welcome God in. Obed-Edom did that. He brought it in. He probably, when they'd seen what happened, they all got the poles. They weren't going to touch it again. They probably got the Levites, and they probably brought it in. He probably covered it according to the law with the blue cloth that was supposed to be there. And he cherished the fact that now he had the presence of God in his house. Bring Obed-Edom's example into our lives. Because when the presence of God comes into your home, into your heart, into your life in a new way, you will be blessed by God. When the presence of God shines in your life, you will find blessing like never before in your life. When you open your heart and the presence of God comes into your situation, healing will come, joy will come, peace will come. But let God come in to your heart and into your church and into your life. Oh, that was amazing. And once that had happened, you get the sense that Obed-Edom woke up every morning. David was sort of still feeling, when he went to the church, wooden. He was still feeling, where's God in the sanctuary? I know the ark is in Obed-Edom's house, and how's he doing? And we hear in verse 12, they gave him a report. Look what they said in verse 12. They gave him a report. They said, David was told, the Lord is blessing Obed-Edom. All that belongs to him because of the ark of God. Obed-Edom is where the revival is happening. Obed-Edom is where this is all going down. And so what begins to happen is when you open your heart, now you don't have to rely on others for this. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to go back and open your heart to the Lord afresh and say, Lord, I want the ark, the presence of God, to come again like it did into Obed-Edom's house, to come into my life. Maybe you've had a threshing floor moment. Maybe you've stumbled. Maybe you're hurting. It doesn't matter. Bring in the Lord into your heart in a new way, in a fresh way. Open the door of your heart and let him wash away all that grime, all that bitterness, All that is holding you back and tripping you up. Let the ark of God come into your heart in a new way. Open your heart even now today. It's not about the pastor or the church. It's about you and where you are. Open your heart. Obed-Edom, it was just him and his house. It wasn't the sanctuary. It wasn't the temple. It wasn't the people singing outside. It wasn't the 30,000 soldiers. It was him. And I'm asking you today, like him, open your heart afresh to him. Let him become your Lord. Let the presence of God come and so fill your life. And that's what will happen. Revival will break out in your life, and revival will break out in your church when you open your heart to Jesus. Oh, you can imagine. Where are you going today? Well, I'm going to the temple, but I'm going to go by the street of Obed-Edom's house. Why are you going there? Well, that's where it's happening, brother. That's where the revival is. It's happening in that place. And on my way to church, I'm going to walk past there and I'm going to receive some of that glory. That glory is shining in Obed-Edom's house, and it's shining there, and it's not shining anywhere else in Israel like it's shining there. And I want a part of that. I'm going to where the revival is, and I want to drink of that revival. And the light is shining in his house. He is being blessed. He is being blessed. His cattle are producing like never before. His crops are growing like never before. That's prosperity. Prosperity comes when Christ is center of your life and you're being obedient to him. Don't worry about manipulating prosperity. Just receive God's blessing. He is being blessed because the presence of the Lord is in his house. And you know what it's like. I know what it's like. Anyone who's received Jesus knows what it's like. Anyone who's received Jesus knows what it's like to wake up in the morning and to be filled with the joy of the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the birds that are singing so beautifully. Thank you for my life that I've slept through another night. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And you are filled to overwhelming with the joy. And that is what was happening at Obed-Edom's house every day, because the presence of the Lord was in that place. Revival was shining through the doors. They couldn't keep it in. They'd walk by. It was shining out. Come on. They were dancing in there. They were singing in there. They were filled with joy in there. Why? Because the presence of the Lord was there. And yes, there would be painful times, there would be hurtful times, but the Lord brought healing. The Lord brought wisdom. The Lord brought direction. That's what happens when the presence of the Lord is in this place. Whew. David couldn't take it. I need that. Let's go. 30,000 men, we're going back again. Where are you going? To Obed-Edom's house. We're going to get that ark. And we're bringing it into the temple of the Lord. And David went, and this time they did it properly. This time they'd read the word. This time they read the law. This time they did it with respect. Because that's how you start when you come to God. You respect his word, and you obey his word, and you follow his word. And then the blessing comes. And they brought the ark down, this time with praise and joy. And this time David was so filled with joy that he knew he was bringing the presence of the Lord into the house of the Lord, and he celebrated and danced before the people with joy in his heart before God. When last did we dance before God with joy? When last? In your heart and in your life. When last did you go from church and think, Lord, I met you today. That cloud was there today. That presence of God was there today. Lord, come into this church. Let this church be a church where people will say, I'm going down to the church down the road. It's a great church. That's my church. But I want to drive by East Hill Baptist. There's something happening there, and I want a touch of that grace. How can that be? It can be when God turns up in the sanctuary. People say there's something happening down at that church. There's a revival down there. As they came, there's a precious verse in this passage that we're closing with. And I wonder if you would, it's just, we're going to close with this verse. Is go to a verse in 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 13. I wonder, Anders, if we can get it up. 2 Chronicles 5, 13. And this is an example in the Old Testament of where the cloud came down. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one. I love that. Were as one. The trumpeters and the singers were as one. When we learn that secret as God's people, when the elders and the deacons and the people agree in a church meeting as one, when we come together in the sanctuary and we are in agreement as one, when we pray together for each other and encourage each other and build one another up as one, When we are in step with each other as one, when we are as one, they came to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When we are as one, there's something about the unity of God's people that God loves. It's like ointment that is poured down on the beard of the high priest. It's precious to God when he sees his people as one. And when they are together as one, praising and thanking the Lord as one, and they lift up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praise the Lord, saying, he is good, his mercy endures forever. And I love this because what they're doing is they're doing church. What they're doing is they're doing, it's a little bit like you come to church and we say, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. And we say, our Father who art in heaven, and we pray the prayer. And it's normal. It's what we do and we love it. Or let's say, let's just say a liturgy. For he is good, and everybody else says, for his mercy endures forever. They're doing church. But what was amazing, and I don't even know if they were expecting this, but that last verse, the house, that's the reason that I say, I don't even think they were expecting it, because they say it twice, that the house, and they say it again, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. The house, while they were doing church, while they were praying, while they were doing intercessory prayer, while they were singing together, and while they were giving their offerings, suddenly, while they were obeying and doing church, the Lord showed up, and the cloud of God's glory filled the church, filled the temple. And that is what happens when we come and honor God and honor his word and honor each other and respect each other and build one another up and together as one worship God. But most importantly, come in repentance and say, God, forgive us for the blockages. And Lord, come, Lord Jesus, even so come and let the cloud of God's glory fill this place. Amen. 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 Come on, let's sing, let's worship him. Let's ask God to fill this place. And as you do today, I'm asking that you would in your heart say, Lord, come afresh. Come, bring the cloud of God's glory on this place. We want to be like that man, Obed-Edom. We want that for ourselves and for our church and our community. We want that revival. Lord, we need that revival. Amen. Let's stand. Come, let's worship him. Amen.